So Boston's known for a lot of things, but nightlife, not so much. And city officials are looking to change it by following the lead of countless other communities and hiring what is called a night mayor. Now, that is two different words, night mayor. In a series called After Dark, Boston at Night, we take a look at what it means to have a night mayor and what it would mean for a city in transition. Joining us now, Shigun Idowu, who is Chief of Economic Opportunity and Inclusion for the City of Boston, and Allison Harnden, who is the nighttime economy manager, sort of the night mayor, with the City of Pittsburgh's Office of Nighttime Economy. Shigun, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Great to have you. And Allison, welcome for the first time.
Yes, thank you for having me here today.
So, Shigun, I'm going to play with this a little bit. Nightmare, wait, the first time somebody said, you know, the city's hiring a night, and I'm like, what? But what are you trying to hire, Shigun?
Well, so I appreciate the question because this role has had many different titles. On paper, it is called the Director of Strategic Initiatives. And when I put this together back in January on day like six, the goal was to have a cabinet level position that would be organizing all of the departments in my cabinet and working with other partners across the city on really tough issues. The first issue is going to be the late night, the issues that we're facing here in the city. In speaking with other members, I kind of used the term nightlife czar as what they, you know, the role that they would play in the beginning, and it has taken a life of its own, and great to hear that it's now nightmare. So, but that's where we are. But the goal really is to just cut through the noise, cut through the red tape, help us understand what are the barriers to creating a more robust, healthy nightlife activity in the city beyond, bars and restaurants, which are really critical to helping having a thriving nighttime economy, but also other recreational activities, other bureaucratic issues that we can cut through to make sure that people are having a great time at all hours of the day here in the city.
So, Allison, that sounds like a big lift. It sounds like a really big lift.
I'm glad you recognize that. It is indeed a big lift. I have to commend your mayor and your city for, really digging in deep on this and making it this cabinet level position that's interdepartmental. I mean, that's really the kind of investment that's needed. You know, there have been various, I don't like the term nightmare, but various roles like this around the city or around the country, around the world, and they're we've all learned from the challenges that they've had. So, I mean, it's really great that you are well positioned to embrace this opportunity.
So I'm going to play a little sound here. Producer Amanda Bielan here at Radio Boston spoke with Jim Peters. I think you're both familiar with who he is. He's the president of the Responsible Hospitality Institute. It consults with cities and towns on kind of managing nightlife economies. They've been doing it for a very long time. And he talked about what this vision of expanding nightlife today sort of can or needs to mean.
Expanded hours for museums, libraries offering programs at night, fitness centers staying open later. So the idea of a changing demographic of young people who are now able to have a more flexible schedule with work, especially those that can work from home. They're looking for opportunities to break up their day or to go out at night, but not necessarily to drinking establishments.
So, Shigun, that underscores what you were saying before. And as I'm listening to Jim, we have all those building blocks, right? All of those pieces exist in the city of Boston, but there are some pretty obvious rate-limiting factors to fulfilling that vision. What do you see as kind of the biggest burdens that need to be dealt with in order to get there?
Well, I mean, of course, the biggest thing, I should start off by saying, this is also not the first time that Boston has tried to tackle this issue. There have been a number of commissions and task forces that were convened to try to address this issue in previous administrations. And, we had the late night pilot on the T. And I use that as the segue to say that our biggest hurdle, but also opportunity, is when it comes to transportation. If we can't only rely on rideshare models for getting people to and from, the places they decide to go at night. But also this gives us an opportunity to not just focus on the downtown Seaport, Fenway areas, but really think about the entire city and the role that the whole city plays when it comes to nightlife activities and opportunities. And so this is one reason I mentioned the special events process and other opportunities for the city to work with community to make it that, you know, it's not just the museums, not just the libraries, but, you know, late night events that people can have at the local cafe, you know, et cetera, to, again, provide more spaces and opportunities for people to enjoy the nightlife that aren't just, you know, as Jim said, just drinking and eating.
This is part. So go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, just to say, you know, on the biggest thing you'll hear won't just be me and others, but you'll always hear transportation is the biggest hurdle. And in addition to that, it'll be safety as well, which is something that we're working extremely hard to address when it does come to going out at night at bars and clubs. We know recently there's been reporting instances of drinks being contaminated, people not feeling well after attending different clubs and other locations. And so safety is going to be another big piece of what this person is focused on, making sure that we're in direct communication with the DA, with the police department, but also taking measures to work with our partners over large venues to keep patrons safe.
This is part one of our Radio Boston series on After Dark Boston at Night, as the city works to create more of a well-rounded nightlife. We just heard from Shagun Itawu, who's the Chief of Economic Opportunity and Inclusion at the City of Boston. Also with us, Allison Herndon, who's doing this work in Pittsburgh. So, Allison, we reached out to our texting club here at Radio Boston, and listeners, you can join that texting club. Get started by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's 617-766-0382. They agreed with Shagun. By far the biggest limiting factor is later night transportation. And Jim Peters, who you've worked with, I understand, in the past, Allison, of the Responsible Hospitality Institute, underscored that too. Here he is.
While we make public transportation available for the receptionist to get to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, that same option is not necessarily available for the person who cleans the offices or the people who work the night shift or even the cooks and the bartenders and the servers who get off at 2 o'clock in the morning. So transportation is clearly one of those factors that more cities are looking at.
Is it the linchpin for you, Allison?
Well, I will also like to, you know, I did work with Jim Peters and have worked in various cities besides Pittsburgh, and want to say that, you know, transportation in some ways really got it, the problem was solved almost, you know, somewhat with Lyft and Uber, but it, like your guest said, this is not something that can be just solved with that. The workers are hard to get nowadays. How do we make sure that we can have workers near their work or have ability to get home late at night? But also it's a reputation builder. When I used to consult for cities with a nightlife, you know, I would always say that if you can clear the district at the, you know, in an efficient and appropriate way and get people out of the district so that they're not hanging around and causing impact to nearby residents, that's the biggest bang for the buck right there. And so, you know, transportation is one of those big things.
So, Shagun, we're going to have a number of conversations about this. And to keep the sort of the listener in the game, what do you say to the listener who hears this part of our conversation? Here's what Allison just said, Jim just said, you identifying transit as, or transportation as a big issue, and says, well, okay, well, then we're done here. sort of feels fatalist and is like, well, then why are we even having this conversation when the T's still catching on fire? We haven't gotten the slow zones taken care of from the Orange Line shutdown, you know, blah, 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 blah. That sounds disrespectful. I don't mean it to, but that frustration that we know we hear from the region's transit riders.
Well, so in terms of why we're having this conversation, I mean, I think, you know, this last point Allison brought up around reputation builder, no city can remain competitive if they do not have, if they're not addressing the needs of residents at 24 hours. So kind of what Jim mentioned, that, you know, in the morning, afternoon, you know, we're doing great to take care of folks. When it comes to the nighttime, Boston is lacking. And, you know, for me, this is like a critical piece around retention. We have so many young people and young families who are either moving to Boston or want to move to Boston, but within 2 or 3 years are going to Atlanta, to Miami, to LA, DC. And, you know, while we can't force the sun to sit over the city of Boston for 365 days a year and make it a balmy 70 degrees, we can do things to make the nightlife more inviting and give people a reason to want to stay in the city year round. So, you know, again, I'll go back to the idea that on the transportation issues, completely understand it. I myself have, you know, ride the T every morning or at times go back and forth between the car and have to sit on 93 for an hour just to get from another neighborhood in the city to get to downtown. So I completely understand and feel the frustration of folks when it comes to the transit issues. But this is also, again, one reason that we're focused on not just centering nightlife activities in the downtown area, but spreading this across the city, ensuring that all of our residents have access to recreational opportunities, that, yes, some of it might be restaurants and bars, but that there are so many other ways to enjoy the nighttime and nightlife. And there are ways that the city can get out the way to help make that happen.
So let's check in on the hiring. When we had Mayor Wu with us last month, Shigan, we asked her, where are we? You know, on that, she said, well, you know, we've got some interesting candidates. We're in the process. I know you had wanted to get this hire done. I think you had said in one article sometime in August. So how close are we, and can you give us any updates?
Well, so we had about almost 80 people go forward with submitting their interest in this position, dozens more that reached out just to ask questions about it. So, you know, working with the team and with other chiefs here in the cabinet, as well as external partners, we have finally narrowed it down. And so the goal is to have a selection in hand by the end of this month and to have an offer letter signed and this person named sometime in December.
So pretty soon here, you think we'll have this night czar of sorts in place and ready
yes.
to go.
We want to make sure that in 2023, we're starting off on the right foot.
Excellent. So what's the first task, Shigan, for that person? Obviously, you know, whenever you get a new person in a cabinet level position, the first thing they're going to say is, I'm going to listen a lot, right? I'm going to go on a listening tour. So let's put the listening aside. What's the first thing for the new hire when they get in?
Well, this person is for sure going to be deluged with a lot of incoming, not just, you know, to your point, those listening sessions, but lots of research and studying. You know, as I mentioned before, this is a topic that the city has tried to address many times over. So it's going to be a lot of looking at the strategies that were offered before so that we're not having a year of listening sessions, to your point. But they're also going to be talking with other members of the cabinet. And so when I refer to the cabinet, I'm talking about economic opportunity and inclusion, where we have five different departments, all interrelated and all have some connection to this issue. There's going to be a lot of conversation with those individuals. And, you know, the 30-60-90 plan is to make sure that by that 90 day, that there is a strategy for how we move forward on at least one or two key issues that are preventing the city from being able to have a better nighttime economy here.
And Allison Herndon, recommendations, advice. So somebody's coming in, hopefully by mid-December, they got a 30-60-90 day challenge. So end of March, there's a strategy in place with, based on your experience in Pittsburgh, one or two nuggets of wisdom.
I just would say that you would need to think about this position being sustainable, like making sure that there's enough staff and budget to really accomplish what you need to do. And I do not discount those listening tours. That listening is 80% of the job, not just at the beginning, because things change and they change a lot in nighttime economy. So it's having people across the board using the night lens in the city to provide equity, you know, time of day and the way people live their life, if that's living your life at night, they have the right to the same services and the same quality of life that people that operate on a 9-to-5 schedule.
Fantastic. And Allison, you gave us a perfect segue because we are going to have an additional conversation next week about Boston After Dark, and that focus will be on equity. So for now, we'll end the conversation. Shigan Idowu, Chief of Economic Opportunity and Inclusion, City of Boston. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
And Allison Harnden, Nighttime Economy Manager in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, thanks for the advice.
Oh, thank you for having me here. Good luck.
Thank you. We will be looking at Equity After Dark next week. So do you have suggestions for things we should talk about on that front or on other things when it comes to the nighttime economy? Text us. Join the texting group by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382. We'd like to hear your thoughts on this as we build this series out.